And let's go ahead and open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for bringing us safely to this building so that we can meet together and worship you and study your word and have a time of prayer with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be with those who perhaps may still be trying to reach here. But Lord, we ask that you would just bless our time together, especially those who are connected with us on Zoom, that they may be encouraged, even though they can't be with us physically. I pray, Father, for Bev, as she and Jen are driving down to New Jersey. Pray that you give them safety as they travel. I pray for others of your children who are experiencing bad weather as they drive, that you keep them safe. And we look forward to what you will show us in your word tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, I invite you to turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and we're also going to look at one verse in Revelation 22. So 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, and then Revelation 22 and verse 12 will be our main text for this short message. During my early formative years, I was blessed to have parents who were so conscious of the importance of truth in the lives of their children and were so committed to proclaiming the glorious gospel message that they never knowingly promoted Santa Claus, but rather emphasized the real meaning of Christmas, the incarnation of God the Son, and his birth to a virgin in fulfillment of prophecy. So being a bookworm, I read stories about Santa Claus and his reindeer and sleigh, but I enjoyed them as fairy tales that were connected with December, not as something real. But Christmas itself, with presents under a tree, well, we didn't have one in Kenya, but we had a Christmas tree whenever we were back on furlough in the States anyway. They didn't have one in Kenya because they realized it could be taken as something, idol worship or something, and that wasn't at all what we were doing, but we didn't want to cause any kind of misunderstanding. But anyway, Christmas itself, with presents under a tree and icing-decorated Christmas cookies and manger scene and stockings hung up by the fireplace, was a great event we as children looked forward to with great anticipation each year. Although Santa coming late at night down our chimney with presents to put under the tree was not what we as children were excitedly looking forward to, even though in Kenya we actually did have a fireplace with a chimney. I don't know why. We were on the equator. We never needed it. Anyway, we went to bed with joyful anticipation of Christmas morning when we could get up and check our stockings for smaller treats and toys, and a little bit later, when adults were awakened up, opening our presents that were under the tree. And as far as little toys in the stockings, we always had these little, what do you call those? Dinky. They were something. I can't remember what they were, but they were little matchbox cars. Yeah, just about like this. You know, they were little ones. So they fit in a stocking. I look back on each December, we look forward to being surprised with a present that would be more exciting than the ones we received the previous year. And I look back on one Christmas when I received half a bicycle. Let me explain that. Let's put it this way. The bicycle was to be shared by my younger brother Dan and me. Not ideal, but it was still an extremely exciting present. Perhaps you too have fond memories of what you consider to be your best Christmas in the past. Not to downplay any of that, I do want to draw your attention to, could I put it this way, to the best Christmas that's yet to come. I invite you to turn with me to several Bible passages and follow along in your Bible as I read these passages for us. I gave you some at the beginning of this challenge, but we're not going to get there right away. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 8. So 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 8. Where we read, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, In verse 8, in the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Then 2 Peter chapter 3. In fact, I'll give you time to turn there because we're going to be reading verses 3 through 18. I'd like you to see them with your eyes as you hear the words with your ears. So 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So long passage, but it gives you the whole picture of the Lord Jesus coming and all the things that will happen after that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, just one verse there. Now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. And then 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. And again, what does hope mean in the New Testament? Confident expectation. So anyone who has this confident expectation of the Lord Jesus coming purifies himself just as he is pure. And then finally, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, the Lord Jesus said this, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. Notice with me, first of all, after all these passages we've read, the most important person of this glorious future, can I say Christmas? Since no one these days seems to, at this season, kids from unsaved homes are looking forward to the coming of Santa Claus. Since no one these days seems to be required to experience the consequences of their wrongdoing, no child is worried about getting coal instead of presents in their stockings or under the tree. Anybody ever heard of that happening? Okay. Nobody worries about that. I don't know of any kid who thinks they're going to get coal in their stocking. But many small children are looking forward to Santa's coming on Christmas Eve to bring them presents and fulfill their wish list, at least in part. No wonder parents are more and more stressed out these days, trying to find the presents their kids want so that their false expectations of Santa are not quashed too early in life. We had many reasons for not talking about Santa Claus, and one of them was, number one, he's not real. And number two, you have to lie to your kids for a number of years until finally you have to say, actually, he's not real. Oops. Then they're looking at you like, so you lied to me all these years. I don't know if any kid says that, but anyway, so we wanted to avoid all that. Anyway, however, we are looking forward to the coming of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our Savior and friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. So interesting how so many kids are looking forward to Santa Claus coming, but we're looking forward to the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus. Notice with me, secondly, the presents. So that's the Christmas we're looking forward to. Notice the presents we will receive at this glorious future Christmas. Unsaved people this season are looking forward to getting toys, tools, and tech devices. Or some might be wanting clothes or a cruise or perhaps even braces on their teeth. I don't know. However, we are looking forward to something much better. We'll be forever free from sin itself, not to mention its effects like shame, sorrow, and loss. We're looking forward to a perfect, glorious relationship with our Savior, where there will no longer be any sin to ever come between us and our Savior. We're looking forward to a new, permanent, eternal, glorified body. I really like that glorified body. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. There, veiled a reference to our glorified bodies. But then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 54 gives us a more detailed description of that glorified body. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Verse 51. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We're looking forward to a mansion in the heaven and the new Jerusalem in the heavens. And this will all be located on a new earth in a new universe. John chapter 14, verse 2, the Lord Jesus said this, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If you have the King James Version, it calls it mansions. You remember that? And a lot of hymns have that, that phrase mansion. It the Greek behind both, it just means dwelling places. But I like the idea of mansion because anything in heaven has got to be pretty cool, pretty good. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Why don't you go ahead and turn there? Revelation 21 and verses 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." Wow, all these presents, including glorified body and a new heaven and a new earth, a new dwelling place in the new heaven and new earth. Notice with me, thirdly, the presence we get to open even before that glorious future Christmas. Some of you, like our family, may have a tradition of opening one smaller present on Christmas Eve as a kind of anticipation of the bigger presents to come on Christmas morning. Anybody like that? And God, too, has allowed us to open a few smaller presents before Christ's second coming. Okay, forgiveness of our sins is not really a small present, is it? It's a huge present. And that's what we have now. The salvation, eternal life that we received the moment we repented and trusted Christ as Savior is an amazing gift indeed. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." On top of salvation from sin and hell, we have fellowship with our Lord and Savior now, even though we can't see him yet. In fact, we have the privilege of prayer, coming into his presence confidently at any time. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Throne of grace is basically the presence, the throne room of God. And I don't know if you've ever pictured in your mind when you talk to the Lord in prayer, but sometimes I picture he's on his throne and I'm talking to him. And what an amazing thing it is to know that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is listening to my prayer and wants to hear it. What an amazing privilege we have, prayer. In addition to salvation and fellowship with our Savior in prayer, we have his grace, his enablement to do his will now. Again, Hebrews 4:16, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Not only that, but we have his guidance and direction. Well-known verse, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight," or direct your paths. We translate either way. Not only that, but we have his provision for all our needs. Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Obviously, that's a whole message in itself. One of the things that I try to bring out, because I've learned it personally, is that God will supply all your needs instead of all your desires. So whatever God supplies, that's my needs. And so therefore, I try to bring my desires in line with what he supplied, because he said he would supply my needs. So I hope that you will too. But what a blessing to know that he will supply all of our needs. Just think, if these Christmas Eve presents are this big, what a glorious Christmas morning we'll see. Wow. How many of you are looking forward to our best Christmas yet to come? Without minimizing or taking away from the anticipation of this coming December 25th, which is almost upon us, I hope this biblical reminder has opened your eyes to see what is really important, more important by far than any earthly Christmas could ever be: the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you ready for it? Are you looking forward to it? Important questions to ask yourself and to answer.